Thanks for joining us for the weekend edition of In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth, Pastor J.D. gives a Mideast prophecy update from an Arab perspective as he connects the dots of current events geopolitically with last day's prophecies biblically. It is our belief that the next event on God's prophetic clock is the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that these Bible prophecy updates will not only ready you and steady you for His return, but that they will also encourage you to share the gospel with others in order that the rapture will not be as a thief in the night. Our president's recent decision to defend the innocent in Syria against the use of some of the most horrible weapons ever devised is encouraging, to say the least. Taking a stand for the innocent is often not an easy thing to do. We need to keep President Donald Trump and our military in our prayers as they take the fight to Bashar al-Assad and his wicked regime. Now, don't forget to stay with us after today's prophecy update to learn how you can become a Facebook friend or watch the weekly prophecy update on YouTube. Now, here's Pastor JD with today's prophecy update as shared on April 9th, 2017.
Please keep the Egyptian Christians in prayer. Some of you may have heard the breaking news this morning that on Palm Sunday, the same Christian group that the Islamic State targeted in mass beheadings a few years back was attacked today when two explosions killed, and this death toll, it seems, is rising, but at least 37 Christians while they were in church on this Palm Sunday. And also, please keep in prayer the Syrian people, especially the Syrian Christians who are still in Syria, which is what we're going to talk about today. I believe that what happened this last week was one of the most significant events to take place in several months prophetically. And what I'm speaking of course, is the chemical weapons in Syria that were used on Tuesday and the swift response to it on the part of the U.S. president. I never want to, and I appreciated a comment from somebody in our online church that said that I really appreciate your balanced approach. You're not sensational, which I think sometimes I get a little bit excited, but I never want it to come off as being, you know, sensational or provocative. And I certainly don't want this to come off that way, but I truly do not believe that most people have any idea, and most Christians especially, sadly, have any idea about how serious what took place last week is. Let me give you, especially for those of you who are really unaware of the timeline, just a real quick timeline of what happened and how and when it all went down. On Tuesday, Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons on his own people for what some believe was actually about the 40th time over the last 6 years, if you can imagine. On Thursday, President Trump ordered a strike, launching 59 Tomahawk missiles on the Syrian airfield from which the chemical weapons originated. Then on Friday, and we're going to talk about this more in a moment, Russia responded by sending a warship into the area where our U.S. ships were located. And again, this is very serious and has the potential to escalate very quickly. Enter UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, aka Haley's Comet, as she has been affectionately referred to. And we're going to also talk more about her shortly. But pictured here, Haley is showing two graphic photos of children who were victims of this horrific attack. Now, here in the United States, they have it's hard not to show these, and they have been, I think, careful. They've kind of blocked out some of the more disturbing images. In the Middle East, they see this in all of its graphic form, and it is just, there are no words. It is just unthinkable. It is so evil, and it is so unbelievable, and it is so painful. This is a horrible way to die, this sarin gas, the effects that it has. I don't want to get off on that, but Haley, though, was unsuccessful in her efforts to obtain a UN response, which was during this emergency meeting at the UN Security Council, which they didn't want to have publicly. And Haley, to her credit, which is why I really like her, refused to have any meeting unless it was a public meeting. They wanted to do it behind closed doors. She said, it ain't going to happen. So they call this emergency meeting. They go in, and she basically, oh my goodness. And Fox News a couple of times showed it where she's looking right into the eyes of the Russian delegation. And I mean, you know, kind of like doing, didn't have to, but it was like this, and you, and you, and you, and you're not going to get away with this. And if you don't do anything, we will. And they didn't, and we did on Thursday. And I mean, and it was kind of interesting. We'll talk about this more in a moment too, but the President of the United States, at the time that he authorized this launching of 59 Tomahawk missiles, was hosting the President of China. Think about that. How cool is that? I'm kind of liking this guy. Kind of liking this president. It was as if to say, China, I know you're chummy with North Korea. And oh, by the way, for us here in Hawaii, North Korea, this Kim Jong-il, who is very ill, a very sick man, wants to basically obliterate the Hawaiian Islands. So have a nice afternoon. And so here's this threat of war from North Korea. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 24 about in his answer to the question asked of him by the disciples, what are going to be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus grocery lists, so to speak, these things that will take place. And one of them is that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And I think rumors is a poor translation because it could be better translated wars and threats of wars. Threats of wars. And you look at the geopolitical landscape today, and what you see are these threats of wars coming from every corner of the earth. And North Korea is one of them. And it was as if during the dinner and before dessert, Trump said, okay, let's just, you know, bomb Syria, and then I'll go back and I'll tell China, listen, we just bombed Syria. Can you just send that message to your buddy in North Korea? Red lines mean something? Well, the question that many are asking is, how do we know for sure that Bashar al-Assad is the one who did this? I was online, and there are a plethora of sites that suggest that this was a false flag, that it wasn't Assad who did it, that it was the Syrian rebels who did it. And others know for a fact that it was Assad who did it to his own people, and namely Amir Sarfati of Behold Israel, who is actually right now in Israel with Pastor Jack Hibbs and a group of about 150 from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Well, they've been going on Facebook Live and basically doing updates. They did an update, I think it was on Friday, from the Syrian border there in Israel. You have to understand that you can actually, on a clear day from the Golan, from the border between Israel and Syria, you can actually see Damascus. That's how close in proximity it is. Well, I would really encourage you to go to Behold Israel, and you'll see these updates. Amir went on Facebook Live and did an update right after it happened, and he assured everyone that Israel knows for a fact that it was Assad who did this. They even know the plane that dropped the chemical weapons, and they even know the pilot's name. And Amir mentions the name of the pilot, and he's an Alawite. He's a Bashar al-Assad Alawite. And so this is clearly from the hands of Bashar al-Assad. By the way, speaking of Amir, we have been overwhelmed with the interest in our upcoming trip to Israel, which is going to be in November of 2018. Not this year, but next year. The dates are going to be Friday, November 23rd to Saturday, December 1st. Now, it seems that many from our online church have already responded, and we are going to have to figure out what we're going to do. I know I've had a few people locally ask me, are we going to have, like last time, our own Calvary Chapel Kaneohe bus for our local people? And then last time we had another bus for our online people. Well, right now we're trying to figure out how to limit it to 4 buses. There are so many people that want to go, and we praise the Lord for that. So we'd appreciate your prayer, by the way, concerning how we're going to do this. It would seem logical that just take 10 buses. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. One of them is that you can't book the hotels for that many people. And then you also just sort of cannibalize the intimacy of the trip, because the sites can't handle that many people. So you're going, and plus I can't figure out how Amir and I can clone ourselves so that we can be on all the buses and all the sites all the time for all the people. So here's what we're going to do. And we appreciate your patience with us as we try to work this out. This is one of the reasons why we got such an early start on this. Many say, well, how do you know if we're going to be here, then? Well, listen, we're either going to be in Jerusalem in 2018, or we're going to be in the New Jerusalem. Either way, it's a win-win. So we're going to get there one way or the other, preferably the New Jerusalem. But anyway, that's actually not for 1,000 years. But here's the drill. If you're interested in going, you need to email Donna Lee, who is Amir's tour coordinator, and she is keeping a list of everyone who is interested, and she's also keeping an order in which the interest and the response came in. You see her email address on the screen. Maybe the guys can do it for the online church on the screen. It's Donna Lee, D-O-N-A-L-E-E, at beholdisrael.org. So again, just email Donna Lee, and she'll get you on the list. And again, please pray that we are able to work out how we're going to, we don't want to turn anybody away, obviously, so we want to be able to facilitate everybody. Okay. I would argue that the current situation in Syria has the potential to escalate past the proverbial point of no return. And again, I don't want to come off as being sensational. I just am hoping you'll hear me out as I kind of argue this case. Here's the thing. If Vladimir Putin's Russia makes good on its threats of war, then it's very likely that World War III is fast upon us. I was listening to a commentator on Fox News who is suggesting that we're already at the beginning of World War III. Now, we know, because we know God's word, we know Bible prophecy, that World War III will be the final world war, and it will usher in the Antichrist and with him the 7-year tribulation. I think one need look no further than to the response on the part of the so-called international community, or perhaps better said, the lack thereof, to see where all of this is headed. On Friday, the Jerusalem Post published a report about how Nikki Haley told the UN Security Council that the U.S. is, quote, prepared to do more in Syria. Quoting the Post, the days of letting Bashar Assad use chemical weapons in Syria without any consequences are over. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, told the Security Council on Friday morning, a few hours after the U.S. military struck on a Syrian airbase in response to a sarin gas attack on civilians earlier this week. Haley said, Assad did this because he thought he could get away with it. He thought he could get away with it because he knew Russia would have his back. The ambassador stated that, along with Iran, the Russian government bears considerable responsibility for the deaths, having used its veto at the UN Security Council 7 times to shield the Syrian regime from hostile resolutions. We're going to talk about more in a moment why it is that Russia absolutely must keep Bashar al-Assad in power. The very existence of Russia is at stake. And that's why. The article goes on to say, in a 17-minute speech, Russian envoy Vladimir Safronkov called the U.S. airstrike, no surprise here, a flagrant violation of international law. Forget that the use of chemical weapons is a violation of international law. And an act of aggression. Adding that, and here's the threat, the consequences of this action for regional and international stability could be extremely serious. Remember, fighting words. He also stated that Russia supports, get this, an investigation into the chemical attack instead of unilateral military action. According to the Russian envoy, the Syrian regime should be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Here's the problem with that. That sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds right, but they've already heretofore been, past tense, proven guilty. There's no presumption of innocence. The verdict's already in. The jury's not out. They are guilty, period. Of course, Russia doesn't want us to believe, the world to believe, that this was Assad. In fact, they want us to think that it was the Syrian rebels, not Bashar al-Assad. And by the way, to those who would say Assad has nothing to gain by using chemical weapons, think about that. There are a number of reasons why Bashar stands to gain by the use of him using chemical weapons on his own people. One of them is to further this propaganda, this narrative, that it's the Syrian rebels. And it seems to have finally, because of this U.S. president, and I'll add Nikki Haley, it seems to have backfired on them. This tactic, this propaganda has seemingly backfired on them. Well, it seems that, according to Fox News, Russia is doing more than supporting an investigation into this chemical attack. They're also sending a warship toward our 2 U.S. Navy destroyers that launched the missile strikes into Syria. Get this. The ship that Russia sent, probably there by now, was near the Black Sea Straits, left on a voyage after stopping for supplies and taking part in a joint exercise with Turkish ships. And oh, by the way, Russia, Iran, Turkey et al., they are all on Bashar al-Assad's side. Now think about that. Let that sink in. Well, speaking of Fox News, we actually have an online member that works at Fox News in New York, and has become a friend of mine since she visited us here in Hawaii about a year ago. I mention this because she has given me permission to share with you some of the information that she's been keeping me apprised of. She sent me what's known as a travel pool report, which came from a pro-Israel friend of hers who, as it turns out, is now the press secretary for the aforementioned Nikki Haley. How cool is that? And I got it first. Okay, never mind. Is that pride we were talking about in 2 Corinthians? Is there a lightning bolt behind me yet? If there is, would you just let me know? Here's some of what the report had to say concerning Syria. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said future actions would be guided by their response to the strike. He said the strikes were successful and that they took out 20% of the 7th Wing of the Syrian Air Force. Tillerson said, I don't have any information that would be appropriate to share at this point on the question of Russia's possible role in Syrian gas attack. Tillerson said Trump told, and this is where it's kind of humorous, China's president personally about the airstrikes toward the end of the dinner, presumably before dessert, about 8:40 p.m. The president told him how many missiles launched and the rationale behind the strike. Tillerson said he heard that China's president understood that such a response was necessary when people were killing children, but he said that official response had also come through public statements from the Chinese. Yesterday, she also sent me this release from the White House Office of the Press Secretary, which was a readout of Trump's call with King Salman bin Abd al-Aziz al-Saud, try to say that three times real fast, of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Quoting the readout, President Donald Trump, by the way, keep in mind that this last week, talk about multitasking. He's launching strikes in Syria. He's hosting China. He's hosting Jordan. He's talking with Saudi Arabia. And I think I'm missing about two more in there, all just in the last 1 week. Well, anyway, President Donald J. Trump spoke yesterday with the custodian of the two holy mosques, speaking of Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia, King Salman bin Abd al-Aziz al-Saud of Saudi Arabia. The king reaffirmed strong Saudi support for the United States. What? Saudi Arabia is reaffirming strong Saudi support for the United States? Wow. Hang on to that. We'll come back to that. Some of you know exactly where I'm going with that. The military strike against the Saadiyat airfield in Syria, and he thanked the president for his courageous action, which both agreed was a necessary response to the horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians. Both leaders underscored their personal commitment to strengthening the long-standing relationship between their two countries, that's the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and committed to remain in close contact on a range of regional and bilateral issues.
Are you ready? If not, you need to be ready, because our redemption draws nigh. This is what Jesus said about seeing these prophecies begin to come to pass in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This verse speaks directly to the heart of the prophecy update that Pastor JD shares each Friday and Saturday here on In Spirit and Truth. The goal for each prophecy update is twofold. First, to equip you with information you need to live in these exciting last days. Second, to encourage you in your faith in the Creator of the universe. Every word in the Holy Bible is 100% true. We're seeing that fact being proven each and every day. We pray that you have been both blessed and challenged by today's prophecy update. And we do hope you join us again for tomorrow's conclusion to this prophecy update from Pastor JD. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, you can become a Facebook friend with us by logging on to www.inspiritandtruthradio.com. We've provided a link to our Facebook page. Another great option to stay current with Pastor JD's prophecy updates is to subscribe to the Aloha Bible Prophecy Update YouTube channel. The Prophecy Update YouTube channel has all the current updates that Pastor JD has shared, as well as an archive of past updates. Again, log on to inspiritandtruthradio.com and follow the link to the Prophecy Update YouTube channel. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please join us tomorrow as Pastor JD concludes this prophecy update. That's next time on In Spirit and Truth.